Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians, a podcast devoted to helping you slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. This is Dave Denniston, your host, the coach for Physicians Finances. This episode, I would like to kick things off with a huge shout out and a thank you to each and every one of you who's taking time out of your busy week, your incredibly compressed schedule, to listen to this podcast and to send me encouraging feedback. And maybe you're just sitting there, you've been listening to me for months or even years, and maybe even just a couple of weeks, and you just really enjoyed this show. And you've never taken the time to write me an email and say, "Hey, Dave, I really like it." Now, of course, you guys, this isn't required or anything, but it just pumps me up. It keeps me going. It's so awesome to hear from each and every one of you. And I know you're out there. I know you're super busy. And maybe you're concerned about how busy I am. And believe me, I am. But it really encourages me when I get emails from my listeners. So please email me, Dave at drfreedompodcast.com. Again, that's D-A-V-E at D-O-C-T-O-R, freedompodcast.com. And don't forget that right now, for the next 2 months, I have a year-end checklist, which you can go ahead and download at drfreedompodcast.com. Again, that's www.drfreedompodcast.com. All righty. Well, today, my friends, we are going to be talking about the 7 deadly sins of residents and fellows. And I want you to imagine this. Just picture this for a moment. The sun is shining brightly. A cool breeze sweeps over the brilliant green grass. And your body is filled with the warmth of the energy of the sun. You raise your face to the sky. You drink this in for a moment. Silence fills the air as you enjoy your moment in the sun. Life is good. You're in practice. You have a gorgeous home. You have a loving family. You sigh contentedly with happiness. So you wander back into your abode. You check your bank account. And you gulp. You shiver in response to what you see. A mere $1,000 is left. That's all you got. That's all you got to your name. $1,000 plus some retirement accounts. Your finances are super tight. And although life is good, financially you're barely making it from paycheck to paycheck. How does this all happen? How does this transpire? You have some student loans still hanging over your head. You're feeling frustrated. You're just crazy upset. You have 2 car loans. You have a jumbo mortgage. And you're still holding off on making the credit card payments and the mortgage payments and the utility bill until the next paycheck comes in. As a matter of fact, you are just itching to snatch that paycheck. Nervousness is filling your inner being with dread. Can you imagine what that would feel like, my friends? How would you feel being in this pinch? Now, here you are, many years into practice, and you feel it's like a residency all over again. Maybe even wonder, where did I go wrong? Now, unfortunately, my friends, this isn't unusual. As a matter of fact, I've seen this same story. It's played out time and time again. And I've seen many practicing physicians, many residents, make some mistakes that could really screw you over for the long term. Needless to say, the wrong decisions can significantly delay your retirement. Let's call them the 7 deadly sins. And if you're a practicing physician, I'd love to know what is on your list. So if you found this piece to be useful, please pass this on to residents and fellows that you work with. Now, no further ado, are you ready? Let's do this. Sin number one, my friends, not buying big ticket purchases in cash. Now, I have to confess that this is the biggest sin, in my opinion, that you're not buying those big ticket things in cash, the cars and stuff like that. Now, you can learn more about that and why I feel this is so important. My friend Bo Liu, I wrote a guest post at futureproofmd.com. You can find a link to it in the show notes. And you can read all about that and about the first car that I ever driven and how that influenced me. So check that out. Now, sin number two, not signing up for PSLF when residency starts. Now, we all know how medical school debt and undergraduate debt just sucks. And I speak to so many physicians with $200,000 or $300,000 in debt. Now, unfortunately, the interest rate on these loans royally suck. Some are private, but the vast majority of physician loans I see, they're federally backed loans like Stafford, Perkins, they're unsubsidized for the most part. So, my friends, this means the interest rate is close to 6.8%, with the average physician that I see, anyhow, accruing well over $14,000 a year in interest every single year in residency. Now, it's really easy to get scared by these numbers, and just so much so that you want to bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and not even think about it. And so, my friends, we have to get on these issues as soon as possible. Now, the best way to do this in 90% of cases is to sign up for PSLF, the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Now, a lot of physicians get this done, but for those of you that have chosen to defer, and forbear, I really want to encourage you, as soon as possible, sign up so that you can begin to accumulate credits for debt forgiveness. Now, this is 10 years for PSLF, so as a resident, you can get 3 years of credit really quickly. And if you do a fellowship, well, now you're halfway there, and you're getting paid jack squat for relatively slave wages, so might as well go ahead and make use of that time. Worst case scenario, hey, even if you don't qualify for debt forgiveness when you go to a for-profit, you've been paying $300 a month that is keeping your interest from compounding and preventing that mountain of debt from becoming a mountain range of debt. You can find out more about PSLF and IBR and pay-as-you-earn by checking out the show notes and the links that I have there from previous podcasts. All right, well, let's take a pause here for a second and go to our commercial break. Well, I hear all the time from physicians, I wish I learned about all this stuff in medical school. And yet there just doesn't seem to be enough time. And now our year is almost at a close. But wouldn't it be great if you could snag a copy of some resource that made it simple and easy? Well, my friends, I am committed to increasing your financial knowledge. I am committed to help to guide you through all this confusing maze of financial decisions with some awesome resources that will help you. And that's why this month I have a very special offer for you. You can pick up a copy, a free copy, of my Ultimate Year-End Planning Checklist. That's right, a free resource to help you close out the year. It's pretty much everything you need to think about as this year wraps up. The last thing that you want to have done to you, my friends, is to be stuck with a huge tax bill or to forget something that you should have done. You can visit the podcast website now at www.drfreedompodcast.com to pick up your free copy. Don't let this podcast be like other ones where you hear some great info, you get some new ideas, but you never actually complete anything. To snag your copy now, visit www.drfreedompodcast.com. Again, that's www.drfreedompodcast.com. Now, sin number three, not married filing as separately. Now, if you're single, skip it. This doesn't apply to you. Fast forward about 15 seconds. However, for our married friends, Once you are enrolled in PSLF and you know that you're going for debt forgiveness, make sure you are looking into filing your taxes as married filing separately. To make a long story short, it lowers your payment and you can still get credit for loan forgiveness. It's like the best of both worlds. So you can learn more about married filing separately also in this article that I have here. So we will link that in the show notes. Sin number four, not refinancing your debts when you start practice. Now, if you're going for debt forgiveness, if you're going to be working full-time at a nonprofit, just please go ahead and move on to the next one. However, if you are, you may be working for a for-profit, or you're considering working part-time, meaning that in the nonprofit that you have to look at the employer's definition of full-time versus the government's definition of full-time, then please look into refinancing if you're in either of those two scenarios, for-profit or looking at working part-time, a mom, physician mom that's going to end up working part-time because she wants to be home with her fam. Now, this, my friends, is because the reason we want to refinance your debts when you restart practice in either of those two scenarios is because you can shave off 1% or 2% or maybe even 3% off your interest rate. And there's so many companies to do this with. It's so overwhelming. There's Credible and SoFi and Common Bond and Earnest and DRB and, like, I don't know, 10 others of them. So far, personally, I've had the best experiences with SoFi and Earnest, if you're looking to have two. My good friend, Physician on Fire, has an affiliate link where you can get a $300 credit at SoFi and refinance there. And so you can check out all of those, again, on the show notes. And I've interviewed several of those companies, and you can check out those to learn more about them. Now, sin number five, buying a home in residency. Now, in my opinion, this simply isn't talked about enough. Now, I've ran across many practicing physicians who state that buying a home in residency is their biggest regret by far. Their biggest regret is buying a home while they're in residency. And there's a few reasons, my friends, why we don't want to do this. Number one, you got higher payments and you often have higher maintenance costs because now you have to worry about the insurance and property taxes and upkeep and all that kind of stuff. And then on top of that, once you buy a house, you got to fill it with stuff that costs more money. You have to repair stuff like heaters and you have to clean ducts and every single bill is higher. Heating, cooling, utilities, trash, yard, all that kind of stuff. Reason number four, to not buy a home in residency, you're likely to move, right? You're probably not staying there when you go to practice, or even if you want to be in the area, if you're in a big metro area like LA, are you going to be on the east side, south side? It could depend on where in town you end up going. And then also, houses can be hard to sell. Although, I have to be honest here, truth be told, in today's market, many homes, particularly on the coasts, they're getting multiple offers, they're selling super quick, and I believe that's the exception and not the rule. And then lastly, if you choose to rent it later, the home that you end up having in residency, and more than likely you have a decent mortgage, and it's probably going to be cash flow negative, making this sucking sound out of your bank account monthly. So we don't like carrying rental houses when it's going to be sucking up your cash flow and being cash flow negative. All right, so all of that leads us to sin number six, not taking advantage of free money. Now, I have to be honest, it doesn't pop up too often, but I am still shocked when I do see it. Your employer-sponsored plan, like a 401k or 403b or 457 deferred compensation plan, it may have a match when you're in residency. So this is free money. We love free money. Money, money, money. They may match 50 cents or dollar for dollar of what you put in. And my friends, there is no debt that I have seen that will have a guaranteed 50% or even 100% rate of return just for socking away a few bucks. Now, let's be honest here. Of course, they may not offer it either. So maybe the match isn't available. And if that's the case, then I recommend socking away in a cash cushion account or a Roth IRA instead. Sin number seven, buying whole life, universal life, and not buying cheap term and reasonable DI. Now, if you're a reader of The White Coat Investor or you follow my writings, my podcast, you'll know that neither of us are a fan of cash value life insurance, except in very limited circumstances. So it can be good, but it's certainly the exception and not the rule. Now, I have a quick checklist here, and I want you to see if you've completed the following. Have you saved $10,000 or more in a cash cushion? Have you maxed out your 401k or 403b? Have you maxed out your Roth IRA? Have you saved another $30,000 in easily accessible, non-qualified type monies? Have you paid off all your student loans and consumer debt, including car loans? Have you maxed out the second retirement option, like a 457 DC plan? Have you saved another $30,000 in non-qualified accounts? Have you looked at a small business retirement plan for your side hustle or private practice? And finally, have you paid off your mortgage? Now, if you've gone through this whole checklist and you've checked off every single circle, you are amazing. Please give me a call so I can congratulate you, so I can learn how you did it and share with your peers here. Outside of that, so you've gone through this whole checklist, cash value life insurance might be okay for you if you've accomplished this. Otherwise, if you're like most of us, you still need to check off some of these boxes. Then once you do, let's chat about it. So in the meantime, just snatch some 20-year level guaranteed term life insurance and get some reasonable DI in the meantime, all right? Well, my friends, there's so much more I want to say, but I think that'll do it for right now. So if you're a practicing physician, I'd love to know what's on your list. What do you wish someone would have told you in residency? What's a sin that you made that you're paying for or have paid for in the past? And if you're a resident, I would love to know, do you agree? Do you disagree with this list? What would you add or subtract? Let me know what you think. Hit me up, dave@drfreedompodcast.com. Well, thank you again so much for listening, my friends. I look forward to getting your feedback. Make sure to check in again soon. Have a good one. Hey, this is Dave Dennis, and I hope you loved today's episode. If you do, you want some more ideas on achieving financial freedom, my friends, I am committed to helping you get stuff done and to end your year right. And that's why this month, I have a very special offer for you. You can pick up a free copy of my ultimate year-end planning checklist. That's right, a free resource to help you close out the year. It's pretty much everything that you need to know and to think about as this year wraps up. So you can visit the podcast website now at www.drfreedompodcast.com to pick up your copy. And so don't let this podcast be like other ones where you hear all this awesome information, maybe there's some new ideas you picked up, but you never actually completed anything. So to snag your copy now, visit www.drfreedompodcast.com. Again, that's www.drfreedompodcast.com.